Yeah, Michelle just said, I wonder how that happened. Well, we came to a crossroad in our ministry over there. You're familiar with crossroads. And we came to that crossroad, and my wife said, you need to go get alone, pray fast, and hear from God. Well, when I did that, I heard something I usually don't hear. I just heard God say, I really love you. If you go to the right, I'm going to the right. If you go to the left, I'll go to the left. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. We can't go wrong. So I say, Lord, I'm going to fleece you on this one. I've heard you should fleece, you shouldn't fleece. I'm just like, I'm going to fleece. So I laid a fleece out there, and I thought, of all the fleeces, which one would have the most impact in my life? Well, we have a negative 200% chance of ever having kids, and we already have two. So I'm thinking, I'm going to go for three. I fleeced the Lord with a new baby in our home at the age of 51. I felt real good, so I went home to my wife. She said, what'd you hear? I said, man, we can't go wrong. God's going to be with us. I forgot the fleece part. And so when I got home, the two children had the flu. Within a week, Michelle had the flu. The kids got over the flu. 3 months later, Michelle still had the flu. And then, like on a Friday, she said to me, if I don't get rid of the flu by Monday, I'm going to the doctor. I said, I think you should. You've had it too long. And that day, one of her girlfriends said, I don't think you're going to get rid of the flu. She said, for about another 6 months. And she said, no way. So she went home and yes way, and she came to me that night. She said, I'm not sure if this is really good news. She said, but I'm pregnant. I said, that reminds me of a fleece I laid out. I said, when I was praying, when you sent me away, I fleeced the Lord with a new baby in the home. And she looked at me. She said, next time you fleece the Lord, just leave my body out of it. And she rolled over and went to sleep. So anyway, that's how our new, and that's why we named her Moriah. I was on Mount Moriah when I prayed that prayer. Yeah, we're missionaries to Israel. I'm going to stand down here because the light's really in my eyes. Plus, I have to see this. We've been in Israel. We've been working in Israel since 1995. 3 years ago, we had full-time missions in Israel. In fact, some of your people have helped us in this mission. We give, you'll see what we do, but we give out blankets to every child we help. And so that came from this church. So thank you for your partnership in that. And hopefully all our technology will work. If you've ever given the missions, if you pray or fast for missions, think of praying and fasting. Missionaries could not, first of all, we cannot do it without you. But for 3 years in the mission field, we've had someone pray and fast for us every day for 3 years. Not the same person. It's been scheduled. But without that prayer and fasting, we would have never left. If you've ever gone on missions, and that doesn't mean the other side of the world, it means those shoeboxes right there that help children on the other side of the world. And I just heard a powerful testimony from Samaritan's Purse in Shoe Tree that one girl who got one of those shoeboxes, there were a pair of shoes in it, and it was the first pair of shoes she ever had in her life. And she immediately accepted Christ, saying, God knows my very need. So that's a powerful testimony. Anyway, if you're part of a MOST team, Missionary Opportunity Sending Team, we have a core group of people, about 12 people. They do everything for us. Everything you do in the States, pay your bills, go to the post office, do your income tax, this team does for us. So thank God for the MOST teams. Home on Furlough, that's what they call what we do right now, going around the churches. Most of what we have right now is not ours. The only kind of thing that's ours is the clothes we have. Everything else we have is borrowed because we don't own it anymore. So thank God the church helps us on furlough. If you've been a part of any of this, and you already have just by being part of Crossroads because they support us, we want to give you the honor and thanks. And Jesus said, I confer on you a kingdom. He said, everything the Father has is mine, and everything I have is yours. So everything you're about to see, you could just lay claim to it and say, this is what I'm doing in Israel. This is part of the work the body of Christ is doing, and Jesus confers on you what you're about to see. When we went to Israel, there was no BIC person in Israel, ever. It was not a post. It's considered an evangelized country. So we kind of went on our own as a partnership with the BIC. And we said, if God shows up, it will become a post. After 3 years, it's now a permanent post. The BIC, if we tarry, could be present in Jerusalem when the Lord returns. And this is what we're going to be doing. What we did in Israel is a very tough security country. To stay in the country, you really need a reason for being there. They don't just accept anybody there. So we formed an international aid agency for the BIC called One New Heart. You could go online. There's a website. There's now Facebook that's driven by my son. Even today, after here, if you see something good, something you like, post it on Facebook, because we are starting to reach in to non-Christians. Probably half our followers or a third are non-Christian, and they're following what the church is doing. So if you say you like this or you've seen something good, they're going to say, hey, what's this all about? Maybe we should go see. So anyway, One New Heart, this is a Palestinian girl named Maj. This is her grandfather. Palestinian children cannot get to the hospitals they need. There are hundreds of thousands of children that have been born with heart disease. Most of those operations are very simple, very easy, but very costly. They start at about $250,000, up over $1 million. Israel has started, they have an organization called SACH, Save a Child's Heart. When you hear the word Israel, they want you to think SACH. This is their number one humanitarian project. How many of you ever heard of SACH? They're not getting the word out too well. So we're helping them to get the word out because we're their right hand. How does it work? SACH wants to help any child in the world get a free heart operation. But they have this policy, this law, that says they cannot solicit a hostile nation, meaning the Palestinians and Hamas, even though they live within their borders, they can't help them. So that's why they've asked us, the church, to help bring these kids into Israel for life-saving heart operations. So I was in the operating room. This is Maj, the first girl you've seen being operated on, Jewish doctor, teaching other people around the world how to do these operations. And here's her homecoming. We had her operated, open heart surgery on Monday. Because the church was praying, she went home on Friday. Can you imagine that? Open heart surgery. Your chest is open 4 inches. They fix your heart. It was stopped for 20 minutes. And by Friday, you're home praying with your relatives. The good news is, because of this one child, we are now in the lives of 60 to 100 Muslims who, contrary to what you see on the news, and by the way, Fox News, CBS, all these news agencies are not Jesus' opinion. It's not the church. Jesus is watching what the church is doing, and this is what the church is doing. So we get into Maj's home. This is her homecoming. And the family, they wanted to honor us, so they wanted us to sleep at their house for a week and just talk to us about why we help our enemy, why we help this child. And it's interesting. Think if you tried to get in 100 Muslim homes to share the gospel. How easy would that be? Not too easy. But because we helped one child, we get in on the spur of the moment. Here we are. This is a Jewish woman here who snuck along with us just to see how Christians feel when they do their work. If she gets caught with us, she's going to jail for a year. But Israel turned a blind eye because they wanted to spy on the church. They wanted to see what the church is doing and how we feel when we do our work. This is Maj's grandmother. These two women's countries are at war with each other. Doesn't it say in the 23rd Psalm, I will prepare a place for you in the place of your enemy? That's what's happening right here. Interesting note, in the Arab culture, when you have a guest, they hand feed you. And I don't mean hand feed you one bite. They hand feed you every bite that goes into your mouth. So just picture them eating with their hand, licking their fingers, and then they pick up a piece of food and put it in your mouth. That's what's going on here. So there are some risks, you know, of getting germs in what we do. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time. I think I have 10 minutes left. And I want to stay to that. But I want to tell you about one little girl. Her name's Shano. During the Iraq War, we were bringing in Kurdish kids and Iraqi kids into Israel. This is one of the first girls we brought in. Her name's Shano. Shano came with an open heart. In fact, most Muslims, contrary to what your TV says and what we should do with Muslims, there's only about 1% of 1% of Muslims who really want to see you die. Think of that. 1% of 1% want to see us. And they're actually good Muslims because they're practicing the Quran. But there's 99.99% of the Muslims who are only Muslims because their father is a Muslim. They've never had an answer to prayer. They've never had a God testimony. You could talk to them and they just go numb. If you ask them what their testimony is, they say, my dad's a Muslim. Have you ever had an answer to prayer? My dad's a Muslim. They use the same line for everything. So when they'll always ask us, when did God ever show up in your life? And it just opens the door. And so actually Muslims in the Middle East are defecting quicker than you could imagine. In Egypt right now, there's so many Muslims coming to Christ through visions and dreams, there's not enough Christians to baptize them, so they're baptizing themselves. Well, anyway, Shano, we left a Jesus video in a projector in her language, in the Kurdish language, and she must have watched that thing about 50 times. And then one day, when it came to the baptism, Shano got down on the ground while Jesus was being baptized, and she knelt on the floor and she baptized herself with no water. And I was standing there thinking, all my theology, I wonder if that works. I wonder if you could actually baptize yourself without water if your heart's right. You hear what I'm saying? So I went to Shano. I said, Shano, what'd you just do? She said, man, I really like Jesus. Most Muslims really like Jesus. They hold him up there as a high prophet. So it's very easy to witness to the 99.9% because they want to talk about Jesus. Well, anyway, Shano said when I asked her through two interpreters whether she accepted Christ, she took my camera. You can see this is her hands there. And she took a series of pictures and she said, I want you to tell my story in America someday. So here I am telling her story. She said, what do you think she's telling you by this picture about the gospel? She just can't see it. Her eyes are closed. So then what we did is we gave her a little Kurdish book in her language. And at the end of this book, a father leads his three children in a sinner's prayer. And I timed it that I was in the room when I knew she was going to get to this page. So right after lunch, she picked up the book and she started reading. She gets to the sinner's prayer and she starts reading it. And there's all these other adults and Muslim children in the room, and the adults stopped her. They said, you can't pray that prayer through Arabic and Kurdish. And I'm like, here we go. And then I asked my interpreters, what is going on? They said the adults don't think she's praying it with a serious enough heart, like she's just glibly saying it. And they could tell by the words that are being used in Kurdish that it's a very serious prayer to pray this prayer. So here we have adult Muslims who led this little Muslim girl in the sinner's prayer correctly. And I asked my interpreters, what is that? What is that all about? They said they don't fear Jesus. They just think he's a great prophet. She'll someday still be Muslim, even though she prayed this prayer. Well, after she prayed the prayer, this is the picture she took. What do you think she's trying to tell us now? And I went to her. I said, Shano, I see a difference in your life. She said, I'm definitely a Christian. She said, I want to be baptized. So we devised a way to get her in our house and baptize her without everybody else knowing it. And then after we did that, she took this picture. She said, don't go telling everybody, or I'm a dead girl. In Kurdistan, in her family, in her town, there's no Christians that we know of. You got to pray for the Shanos, the Arazus. We've led several children to the Lord. They've gone back home, and we really need to, and that's why we need your help in this. We can't always be the ones praying. We led another 18-year-old Kurdish girl to the Lord, and her mother begged us to adopt her. She said, I honor her decision in becoming a Christian, but if I take her back home with a good heart, I got to marry her to a Muslim man. She said, I pray you would adopt her, and then she can marry a Christian man. That's what we're seeing. Have any of you seen that on Fox? You might not have seen it on Fox, but I'll tell you what, it was on Al Jazeera. Anybody know Al Jazeera? Arab TV? They came and did a story on us, and they cast it in a good light. They said, if Christians and Jews will save our children's lives, why don't we save our own children's lives? And it was silent. No one said another word. But picture that, Al Jazeera doing a story on Jews and Christians, our work. Anyway, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is just torn up right now. Even if you take away the conflict, take away the Palestinian conflict, I believe within a year, 2 years, you would see probably a civil war. Jews are just so divided because they've brought Jews from all around the world, put them together and said, you're now a family. The Russian Jews don't know that you shouldn't eat pork. So they've set up butcher shops in the religious section where they sell bacon and ham and all that. And that creates a little tension for the other Jewish people. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think my next slide, and I redid this because of the shortened time, we want to show you, if it is the next slide, just a portion of the children that we've already helped in 3 years. And when you see these children, know there are very large families behind them. Muslim families start at about 1,000 to 3,000 people just for cousins. I mean cousins, sisters, and adults. Picture 3,000 people showing up at every event for the family. So when you reach one Muslim or share the gospel with one Muslim, it goes to all of them because they all talk about it. So watch this. It's to a song. It'll run itself. It lasts 3 minutes, and then I'll share one slide after that if it's, yep, here it is. sound down for me. I'm going to let this run. There's only a couple more slides. I don't know what you see in those pictures, but we see people who are made in God's image. The world would want you to see them as Muslims, people that you, wicked, violent people. The same as in Jonah. Remember in Jonah, it says they were a wicked, violent people. And when God asked the prophet to go to those wicked people, he said, no, I think I'm going to run in the other direction. I'm going to go by water rather than by land. And so Jonah goes by land, and you know what happened. God provided a big fish to help change his mind, that he was going in the wrong direction. And so, yeah, he gets regurgitated on land, and he heads to Nineveh. Nineveh repents. This wicked, violent people repents. They get on their knees and say, we want to worship this God. We want to turn from our wicked ways. When they turn from their wicked ways, Jonah gets real sad. He said, is this not what I told you before I left to go to these people? You are a compassionate, loving God who is quick to forgive. Jonah had this idea that these wicked, violent people should not hear the message of the gospel and should not make it to heaven. He determined that for God. And God sent a worm to eat his vine. Why did God send a worm to eat his vine? He wanted to show him where his provision came from. If you look at the United States right now and the world, God has sent a worm to eat our provision. I have a feeling from what I'm hearing and some of the emails we get and some of the letters we get, we've been running from Muslims. If we don't take the message to Muslims, God's going to bring them here to this country for you to witness to. And we already see that with a lot of mosques going up. These people are very winnable, especially the women and children. The women get zero in heaven. We've heard what men get, but you've never heard what a Muslim woman gets in heaven. If you know any Muslim women, just ask them what they get when they die, and it's going to open up a huge conversation for you because they're not going to be able to tell you. The Muslim women have never heard what they get in heaven. It's because the Quran never says. The Hadith says something, and it's terrible. When they hear their husbands say what they get, they're going to say, what do I get in your kingdom? And women, you're going to be able to tell them exactly what Jesus gives you, and that's everything a man gets. And as soon as they hear that, they're going to envy what you have. And they're going to ask a whole lot more questions. So anyway, with the last slide, let me see if it'll go to the last slide. Nope, it won't go to the last slide. We could just shut it off. How can you help? How could you get involved? There is, out of 2 billion people left to evangelize on the face of the earth, 1.25 billion are Muslims. We need all kinds of help. There are not enough missionaries out there trying to reach the Muslims that want to defect. We believe if we could take the fear factor out of Islam, within 6 months to a year, half of all women and children would defect from Islam. And so we need your prayers. We need your help. For every one of these children, we could bring a child from any Muslim country in the world right now into Israel. That's the door that's open. For $5,000, that's what Israel charges us for that $250,000 operation. The last thing I'm going to share, and our finances, we're supposed to leave in how many days, Michelle? 12. We're at 85%. BIC policy and the policy of agencies, until you reach your amount, you cannot go. This door can be closed in the next 2 weeks if the finances don't come, Pastor. It could no longer be a post. If we don't get back by December 26, we will lose our visas. If we lose our visas, this whole thing could tank. So we need your prayers, we need your support, we need your love. Most of all, we need a change of heart because we hear a lot of tough stuff toward Muslims. Believe me, God's bringing, you're going to see a whole lot of Muslims that have converted to Christianity sitting across the table from you. So we need to change our thinking. God bless.